Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Off the ball.
Rugby.
He's a very good player, and on his day, he's a massive threat on the wing. So that is a bit of competition that we need at the left wing, with James Lowe not firing as good as he has in the recent past.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
You're very welcome to the Racing Pod. It is Johnny Ward just standing in for John Duggan today, and we're recording this ahead of a hell of a weekend of racing, all the way from Friday, double meeting in Ireland on Friday, into Saturday and Sunday's action. Cracking stuff at Punchdown, and Alex Dunn from William Hill is going to join me, our sponsors, very, very shortly. The races we are going to go through more or less today. I guess the highlights, it's debatable what the highlight is actually, because we have the Betfair Chase at Haydock, the 1965 Chase at Ascot, where we have the Ascot Hurdle, we have the Morgiana Hurdle at Punchdown, the John Durkin at Punchdown Sunday. We don't have declarations for that. We do have declarations for the Morgiana, and as often is the case with these races, you have the entries and then you have the declarations, and it's very disappointing. The long time anti-post favourite Anzadam not running in the race, it now looks lossy mouths to lose. But we will start actually, Alex, with last weekend and some sort of, I suppose, anti-post movers. I do get a bit a little bit peeved of, you know, when people are talking about Cheltenham months and months and months in advance. But we have a narrative then for the season ahead, and we had some great action last weekend. I guess what were the highlights for you? And I'll get to mine then.
Yeah, it was a strange weekend, wasn't it? Because some of the racing at Cheltenham was fantastic, and some of it was a little underwhelming. Again, yeah. You mentioned that around the Morgiana, and you know, it might not be the race that we were hoping it would be. And a few of the Cheltenham races weren't the best races that you'll ever see. But at the same time, we saw some potentially quite smart horses. I want to mention a couple of obvious ones first, and then onto one that I think could be a little bit of value, even though has been trimmed in from an anti-post point of view. Final Demand's the obvious one, obviously not from Cheltenham, but goodness me, that boy can jump. He is now 6-4 for the Brown Advisory at the festival, and that's easy to see why. The Arkell is another race that it looks like being a cracker, whoever turns up there. Kopeck de Bord now 7-4, Lulamba 4-1, Romeo Coolio at 8. Kopeck de Bord and Lulamba both did very little wrong, really, on their chasing debuts. Kopeck de Bord's just oozes class, doesn't he? And there'll be many people looking at that 7-4 and thinking, I don't mind that at all. The one that I thought was interesting at a bit of a price is for the Turner's Novices Hurdle. No Drama This End for Paul Nichols was a winner at 10-1 over at Cheltenham. Was a winner at Cheltenham, and he's now 10-1 for the Turners. And Paul Nichols spoke about this horse in glowing terms. Now, he's going to do that, and he seems to do that quite often, but I have a feeling that it's worth listening to him on this occasion. No Drama This End looks a real force to be reckoned with, and is now 10-1 joint favourite with Dr. Dumenil for the Turners as things stand.
This is the thing as well. So it's late November here, and we're talking about short price favourites for races they may not even run in March. And that's the nature of Cheltenham now. And, you know, when Kopeck de Bord and Final Demand were very, very short priced at Navan, sometimes I there's an aspect of me looking at this. I'm like, what else did you actually expect these horses to do? Because both looked out and out chasers anyway. But at the same time, you can't see these prices actually contract. I mean, what price could Kopeck de Bord go off in the Arkell?
Well, that's the thing. And you look at what he did last year, and the fact that even on his chasing debut the other day, he wasn't foot perfect early doors, but he grew into it and he looked better and better. And it went from me thinking, I'm not sure about him. Who knows? And then all of a sudden you're just like, oh, he's just great, isn't he? And the thing is, if Lulamba wasn't in the race, what price would he be? I mean, whether they come up against each other or not, we're going to see a very good winner of the Arkell, I would imagine. Some years it doesn't look up to scratch. This year it's warming up to be one of the best races that you'll see all year. Fingers crossed. We just want to see them both get there now. That's the thing. But yeah, currently 7-4 Kopeck de Bord, which, like I said, if he continues as we've seen him, he's going to take a fair bit of beating.
Yeah, there's a bit of 10-1 available elsewhere, but I do want to make a case for Romeo Cuglio, who obviously was behind him at Cheltenham when they met as hurdlers, but this is a different ball game, and you're still talking about horses having to get to a race meeting 4 months away. Romeo Cuglio, who's 8-1 with Hills, was absolutely spectacular, I thought, at Down Royal. Now, some of the fences were omitted, but I suppose one of the things, Alex, in relation to Cheltenham, the fact that they've gotten rid of that intermediate race means that your 2.5 milers basically now will run in the Arkle, so it does make it for a better race as well.
Yeah, and Romeo Cuglio is one of those horses that always looked like he would improve over fences. There are some that we're hoping will improve, and there are some that we're hoping will maintain the level that they did over hurdles. With Romeo Cuglio, I'd be disappointed if he didn't end up being a better chaser than he's a hurdler. So you've got to respect the fact that, you know, those fences are there for a reason. You've got to get over them and get over them as quickly as you can. Kopec Debord, for example, may get over them in a fashion, and he does look pretty good, to be fair. But jumping's the name of the game, and if Romeo Cuglio can ping a few, then yeah, I agree. He's the one that I would urge punters not to forget about.
Just to talk about Final Demand. So Final Demand is out of Zuzka by Walk in the Park. So he has the pedigree, and Walk in the Park has had you know, so much hype since the early Duvan days. But these best horses are basically still more or less from that early era. Now, Final Demand, I know the way you're thinking, and some of these other horses coming around now may become the best Walk in the Parks yet. But it's hard not to get excited about this guy, Alex, because even as much as he was beaten at Cheltenham, he looked an out-and-out chaser. And it was pointed out to me, somebody said to me the other day, he won a bit of an egg and spoon race at Navan. He beat Wingmen by 13 lengths, and Now Is the Hour was another 3 lengths back, and he destroyed good horses.
He did, and I think that's the thing. When I looked at that race beforehand, I thought, you know, if he's not at the peak of his powers right now, if he doesn't take to fencing immediately, then there are runners in there that could take advantage, and they just never look like landing a blow. You do see some races, particularly over in Ireland, where, yeah, you will see those towards the front of the race early doors and those towards the back, and you can almost see what they're trying to do with some of their runners. On this instance, Final Demand was just way too good for everything in the race, and it's so hard to see him being beaten in the Brown Advisory as things stand. Now, there will be other horses that come out in the next few months and can lay claim to potentially coming up against him, but he's 6-4 right now. He's 5-4 to win any race at Cheltenham, but that does far and away seem the obvious one for him. I mean, the other races that we've priced him up for currently are the Stayers Hurdle and the Arkle, and I'd be very shocked if he went for either of them.
Okay, one more horse I want to talk about, Antipost, and we haven't discussed this pre-show, so I'll give you a bit of time maybe to get the Triumph Hurdle betting up. The Triumph is now one of the showcase races on the Friday, and that isn't the Gold Cup. And this race, William Hill, is 12-1 the field, so it's definitely, as you might expect, given it's only November and there are only 3-year-olds at this stage, it's not a race that's necessarily developed yet, and maybe the winner hasn't even run over hurdles yet. Maybe we haven't seen the winner at all yet. There was something about Barbizon's performance, Alex, at Navan that really, really took my eye, because he was a horse that I kind of half followed on the flats. I tipped him up the last time he ran in a small field race, having seen him win prior to that on the flat. Now, just to look up his form, because when he was running in these races on the flat over the summer, he was trained by John Murphy. I actually went a little bit unnoticed to me that he was sold at all, because he won at Killarney. I was there that day he won at Killarney, and I was there the following day. He was fifth at Killarney in a listed race. Kind of a messy race. He then ran in a 5-horse race at Punchtown, and he beat Corridor quite readily, showed a turn of foot. We don't train horses, Alex, but for a horse to translate from the 16th of September, where he had to show a turn of foot to win a Mudland race over a mile and one, to win a slog at Navan on heavy ground over 2.5 miles on ground that was unraceable the day before, well back 13-8 favourite, maybe not the strongest race in the world. There was so much about this I liked. He is 16-1 for the Triumph Hurdle. I have to advise anyone listening or watching in, get on this right now.
I liked him the other day. I thought that it was a really smart performance. And yeah, I've got to say, as a flat horse, he was what he was. He was pretty good, but he didn't set the pulse racing like he did the other day. I thought he looked really, really good. And like you say, it is tricky with the Triumph, because we might not have seen the winner out just yet. There are horses that end up in the Triumph by hook or by crook, coming from all different walks of life. Some of them will make better chases in time. Some of them were good flat horses. you get all sorts lining up in the Triumph. But I agree that right now he looks one of the most exciting ones. It is a wide open field right now, as you'd imagine. 12's the field. He's in there at 16 to 1. But from what we've seen so far, he's got to have a chance.
Yeah, when I got into racing, I suppose around about 20 years ago, it was unusual enough for the Irish even to win the race. Willie Mullins won it with Scolardi in 2002, but thereafter it was John Joe Neal, Philip Hobbs, Alan King, Paul Nichols, Nicky Henderson, Paul Nichols, John Quinn with Countrywide Flame in 2012. So this is quite remarkable. So you've the guts of a decade or more there with no Irish winner. Since then, Desi Hughes, Gordon Elliott, Nicky Henderson, Aidan O'Brien, Philip Hobbs, Gordon Elliott, Nicky Henderson, Willie Mullins, Henry de Bromhead, Willie Mullins the last 4 years. And it seems like the Irish have kind of gotten a handle on the race. A lot of horses coming from France now as well, who are almost ready-made hurdlers. And this year, maybe the market has yet to get going, I suppose.
Crazy when you were going through the list of trainers there as well.
Isn't it mad?
Well, in my head, I'm just going, Aidan O'Brien, right? Well, he's won the Breeders' Cup. And then you've got Willie Mullins, he's won the Breeders' Cup. So maybe it has changed. And it is one of those races where, I mean, last year's renewal was just crazy. And we've seen some really nice types come out of it. But we don't know how good the winner is going to be long term. It is one of those races. It can throw up a strange result. But from form-wise, what we've seen so far, I'm with you. I thought Barbizon looked nice.
Okay, let's move on to this weekend. And we have, as I say, we've cracking action here. And it is Johnny Ward and William Hill as Alex Stone. Just go through the runners. We've gotten declarations in for Saturday's races. And we might actually start on Saturday in Ireland. Let's start with the Irish action on Saturday. I think we'll have no issues with, we've had a bit of a cold snap, but we should be all good for action on Saturday. I quite like the fact as well that we have the Morgian on a Saturday. I'm a bit more of a fan of racing on a Saturday than a Sunday. I think there's maybe a bit more hype about it, but Anzadam not running here was the big news. I don't know, these anti-post markets, Alex, obviously you've gotten to be very, very wary of them anyway, but I don't know what you make of the race. Glen Kill, Narancy, Nandawi and Lossiemouth, it's not great, it's not too bad, it's not great. How did they bet?
Lossiemouth is 2-1 on currently, 11-4 for Narancy, and Nandawi is 9s and 22-1 for Glen Kill. And it is one of those races where, and you mentioned it there, from an anti-post point of view, it has been tricky. Willie Mullins has sort of given everyone the runaround with his running plans because, as you said, Anzadam all week, that appeared to have been the plan, and then all of a sudden it isn't. So, look, Lossiemouth is going to take one heck of a lot of beating. Narancy is a nice type. Second in at 11-4. And I like Ndawi as a horse, but I doubt that he'll be winning races like this. He's 9-1. It appears to be Lossiemouth to lose. It'll be interesting how the market shapes up because, like I said, she's 2s on now. She could go off 4s on. She could go off 8-11, depending on the strength of market behind her. You'd expect her to win, wouldn't you? She is a superstar. And let's hope that she does go on and win and win well and be interesting to see where she goes next. But yeah, as far as the Morgiana is concerned, not the strongest field that you'll ever see.
Yeah, Lossiemouth obviously was one of those horses I mentioned who won the Triumph. Because they have these stupid mares races now, she can avoid the champion hurdle. And we don't know where she'll go at Cheltenham, but there was obviously all that chat last year. My problem as a punter with a race like this, Alex, is that the market will absolutely clarify, regardless of what the trainers say beforehand, regardless of who was supposed to run, who was not supposed to run, regardless of who needs the run, who doesn't need the run, regardless of anything any owner says, the market will totally clarify Narancy and Lossiemouth's chance relative to each other. Narancy's hard to weigh up because he was 18-1 when he beat Salvador Mundi the day Copic to Boards ran a shocker at Punchestown. He's rated 157. That's only £2 less than Lossiemouth, and he's a second season hurdler. So theoretically, he should have a very good chance. But I find as a punter, I wouldn't go near this race with a barge pole. That's just my attitude.
I guess the question with that is how much do you believe official ratings and how much do you take into account what you've seen with your own eyes? Personally, I would say that as long as they are both 95% fit or better, Lossiemouth would beat Narancy 49 times out of 50. However, that's not to say that it's not going to happen because Lossiemouth might not be fully tuned up for this. Or Narancy might be one heck of a lot better than I'm giving him credit for and could still improve. But as things stand, Lossiemouth's going to take so much beating there. But like you say, the market will be key. And how often do we see that in these kind of races?
Yeah, we don't have. I haven't gotten any comments from the Mullins yard as stands at them. He was one of my, I suppose, Antipo's tips for the champion hurdle. The other thing is, like, when you have Gavin Cromwell saying he hopes that he hopes that I know the way you're thinking will run well on his return on Sunday. This is a horse rated 176 or something. It's like it's very hard to know at this stage of the season, Alex, where these horses are at fitness wise.
It is, and you can go off what trainers have done with other horses so far this season. So, for example, in England, the Skelton team have tended, the runners that have run huge races and won big races have had a pipe opener. Mm. They've already had a run. Whereas if they had a big hit, they're going for a race without having a run, then it might be best to try and swerve that one. That said, when you do have these superstars, these horses that are rated as I know the way you're thinking is, they've almost got to be campaigned a little bit differently anyway. You almost can't judge one from another because things do change with the caliber of horse that they're training. It's only natural, I guess, for the trainers to maybe treat one with kid gloves rather than to try an attack from the start of a season. And also, there's so much riding on Cheltenham, for example, in March, and we see that so often, that often horses don't try to peak at this point because as a trainer, I've never trained a horse personally, but I'd imagine it's pretty hard to keep them at 100% for that many months of a season.
100%. Absolutely. And in fairness to Gavin Cromwell, he said it's all about Cheltenham. Work back from that. Let's see what happens with regard to Cheltenham in the 150 at Haydock. This is the graduation chase. excuse me. This looked a hell of a race on entry stage, and the five runners that turn out, it's still very, very good. We have Oroco, first time Windop, who people may forget was actually sent off favourite in the National when a very honourable fourth. When last seen, Butch has also had a Windop in Britain. All these things are advertised in Ireland. We're left in the dark about it. Then you have the Jukebox Man. Very, very hard race to price up this again, Alex, because the Jukebox Man, he was superb on King George Day when winning the Koto Star Novices Chase at Haydock. He was then obviously expected to go on to Cheltenham. He was back from 10 to 11 into 4 to 6. I can just imagine people lumping on an odds-on shot on the 26th of December and the Christmas buzz when it wins as easily as the Jukebox Man did. Problem is we haven't seen him since, so Ben Pauling sends him out. Ben Jones maintains the ride on the odds-on shot. As I say, taking on Butch and Appers Hill as well off a massive layoff for Paul Nichols, and then Mr. Hope Street, who's only rated 127 and obviously is up against it, but you can see why he's in the race. How do you bet?
Yeah, to start with, when I looked at this, I thought, goodness me, the Jukebox Man is short, but when you look at what he's up against, I can see why. He's 8 to 11 now, and he's been popular. 9 to 4, Iroko, Napa's Hill 15 to 2, Butch 10 to 1, and Mr. Hope Street is 20 to 1. On what we know of these runners, it looks a match between the Jukebox Man and Iroko, and surely Iroko, all roads lead towards the National again, or so you'd think. So is this just a spin over 2 mile five? Quite possibly. The Jukebox Man's got loads of ability, and punters are really coming for him. I mean, as we're recording this, we're still 48 hours out, and he's being really well backed. So he's 8 to 11 currently.
8 to 11, yeah. Again, it's one of those, he could be great value, he could go off odds against. I often think of trying to get people into horse racing and all those things you explained there, Alex. It's actually hard because it's like, there's so many things you have to consider. Two of these horses have had a wind up. Why has this horse not been seen in 331 days? The one thing you'd say about the Jukebox Man is he has been really reliable. Like, so you can basically, if Ben Pauling produced him in reasonable shape here, he wins, doesn't he?
You'd imagine so. What I will say is, at William Hill, we've got racing from a new angle with the all-new racing Bet Builder.
Talk to me about this. This is incredible, right? So Bet Builder, one of the greatest innovations the bookmakers have brought in football. Can you turn it to racing?
You can, with us here at William Hill. I will go into it in a bit more detail on the Ascot Hurdle. I've got one lined up for us there.
Oh, wow.
But it is worth bearing in mind that on races like this, where you might look at it and go, it's a bit of an unappealing betting medium. But if you've got a view, you can normally work the Bet Builder to your advantage. So if you were just against Iroko here, for example, you might want to take the Jukebox Man to win. And then you can look at place betting for the others or match bets between runners or distance betting and put them all together to find a bet that works for you. So we will go into that in a bit more detail on the Ascot race, but this could be a race that's primed for it as well.
Okay, so let's go to the Ascot race. This is the 240, the Ascot Hurdle. Now, what's interesting here is this BetBuilder. So BetBuilder, if none of you is aware of it in football, it's kind of like saying Troy Parrott to get a hat-trick, Troy Parrott to score in the last minute, Troy Parrott to be the greatest thing ever, and Ireland to win the World Cup. Okay, so it's not quite like that, but it's basically like how many corners might be in the game, how many goals, who gets the first goal, and it's a bet builder to give people an interest. It was all these kind of nerdy people who know about quants. They come up with these great models. They sold them to bookmakers for millions and millions and millions. Can it work in horse racing, Alex? This is my question.
I think it can. As for the Ascot Hurdle, it's another race where you might look at Wadoo, who's favourite, at 11 to 8. I'll give you the betting first, actually. 5 to 1, then Bodder's Charm. Celtic Dino, 5s, 13 to 2 for Alter Belly, and 9s and bigger the rest. You might look at the race and go, I do think the favourite will win, but 11 to 8 isn't quite doing it for me. However, there's a danger in there. There's one that maybe normally I would split my stake and back one each way as well. Well, you sort of don't have to now. So my suggestion for this race, and this is based on where the money's gone as well in the early part of trading for this race, Wadoo has been really popular. It was 9 to 4 early in the week, is now into 11 to 8. But Celtic Dino and Alter Belly have both been really solid each way. Celtic Dino has been in fantastic form at the start of the season. Alter Belly, I think we could see more from as well. And Potter's Charm, I'm less convinced about of those towards the head of the market. So you could play Wadoo to win and Celtic Dino and Alter Belly both to finish in the first four and put that together as a bet builder. Those markets are live from the morning of the race. So we're talking about it now. They'll be live from Saturday morning and you can piece them together and see what sort of price you can find. But all those markets will be available for you. And if you do have a view, for my view in that race would be, I don't want to be with Potter's Charm, for example. Not to say that I dislike the horse, but off the back of that four last time out, I think he's got it all to do.
Yeah, I do find the bet builder in horse racing fascinating. I was over at York talking to Racing TV, had a kind of a conference about like the way that we'll present races in the future. And this, I'd never heard of this before, but it was introduced that this bet builder was coming in. And I guess like in a football match, you can kind of, you can be fairly certain about what's happening. But the complexity for bookmakers is, let's be honest, horses are not trying all the time. There is a lot of stuff going on in horse racing, and to try to piece together everything that can happen in a race, I'm really interested to see how it goes for you. And in this race, I want to take Wadoo on. She's been an amazing mare. She only experienced defeat, obviously, last time against Lassie Mout. But what about Nemean Lion? I mean, tongue tie for the first time, but like that her Kerry Lee's horse's performances before Cheltenham last year, very, very good. It is a cracking race. And thankfully, Alex, as well, we have the 9 runners. So nice each way terms if you want to take on Wadoo.
Yeah, it certainly is. Nemean Lion's 18 to 1, by the way. Mm. So certainly a juicy enough price. And you're right, I did look through a lot of the runners in that race, and you feel like going, well, you've been around a while now and you're not getting any better. So like Crambo has been a credit to Connections, but he's probably not improving nowadays, and he's in there at 14 to 1. So yeah, there's certainly scope for a bit of value.
Yeah, and just see if Wadda is very good, what will her plan be this season? Maybe she will be an outside of Tram Hurdle. She's been an amazing amazingly progressive mare, and that is the 240 at Ascot. So we've, as I say, we've cracking action throughout the weekend. They are we haven't done the 1965, so let's get to that one at Ascot now, and that's a grade two at 1:30. So this race, I guess you could say, revolves around Ile Francais, who's a horse that James Reevely has developed such a relationship with. He's a spectacular jumper. You'd have to say he was very disappointed behind Factofile in March, but since then he's been first in a hurdle race and beaten at odds on the last day, which was his last run of the season. Takes on Django Bay, Gidley Park, Pictory and Master Chewy. Only 5 runners, all British trained here. Again, it's hard to price this up because we haven't seen all bar one of these horses in recent times.
It is a tricky one, and originally I saw 5 runners and thought, oh no. But then you look and you go, actually, they've all got a chance. It's quite a competitive renewal for all that there's not too many runners. We haven't spoken about the Betfair Chase as well. We'll get to that in a moment. But as for this one, Gidley Park is the one that's coming for cash. 9-2 from 6-1 in the last 24 hours or so. Ile Francais is the 7-4 favourite. Pick Dory 3-1. Django Bay 7-2. 9-2 Gidley Park. And Master Chewy is 12-1. Django Bay, of course, the Arkell winner when that looked completely unlikely for much of the race, but stayed on really well, and be interested to see over this sort of trip if we do see more. Pick Dory is the kind of horse who just mops up in these races normally, but this does look a, a really up to scratch renewal. And Ile Francais has actually been quite easy to back so far and has drifted from 11 to 8 out to 7 to 4. But when he's at the peak of his powers, he is a real force to be reckoned with. So Gidley Park's the one that money's come for. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this race does play out. Again, the betting may be quite informative with some of them returning from absences. But yeah, really good racing prospect.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to actually probably back Ile Francais just at the prices. I do feel he's the best of these if he can get into a rhythm. But as Alex says, we will go back to Haydock now and the Betfair Chase. We have the five runners. Royal Pagay is going for his third win in a row. This looked an incredible race at declaration time. It's still a decent contest. Grey Dawning is going to go off favourite. Last seen second to Gaelic Warrior. At Aintree, Haiti Kalur, the Irish national hero, who has a big edge there in terms of race fitness and is developing into that second season chaser who could be very, very good. Stellar Story's not out of it. Actually got a bit of word for him during the week, and he's going to be a pretty big pricer. He's actually double figures at the moment. His form last season, second to Lecky Watson in that messy race at Cheltenham, third to Champ Kiley when he ran okay when last seen at Punchestown. It looks like it's going to be pretty decent ground here at Haydock. This is another really, really tricky race, Alex.
It is. I love Grey Dawning as a horse. I think he's an absolute superstar. But what he did in this race last year when Royal Pagay beat him just broke him for months. He ran over Christmas at Kempton in the King George. He pulled up there. We only saw him twice after that. He won at Kelso and then he finished second behind Gaelic Warrior at Aintree. It's still good form. But he put so much into that run in this race last year and still came up short. Now, it was really testing that day. Royal Pagay loves Haydock, loves a slog, and will no doubt try and make it that once again. But I've got to say, I think this is right for Grey Dawning to turn that form around with Royal Pagay. There are others to be wary of course. It's currently 11 to 10 for the market leader in this one, with second in, we've got 80 Color, you mentioned there, at 7 to 2, who is a fascinating runner. And you could not confidently rule 80 Color out because we still don't know the ceiling of his ability. Royal Pagay's fives, Handstand sixes. And like you said, to tell a story intriguing at a double figure price, 11 to 1. But I'd love to see Grey Dawning run exactly as he did last year, but just not find one too good this time.
Yeah, Royal Pagay's 11 going on 12 now. One might wonder why he is 11 to 2. All his wins have been on soft or softer, and he's not going to get that by the looks for that Haydock. Currently good soft and not much rain forecast. And as Alex alluded to there, keep an eye out for Stellar Story. Top price at 12 to 1 with William Hill. Sam Ewing picking up the steer. It doesn't have a lot to find in ratings. And you just wonder, could this be a nice opportunity for him with Gordon's horses in such good form? The last race we're going to look at, this is one we don't have declarations for, and I think given what's happened with the big race at Punchestown Saturday and the bombshell at the end of the declaration stage there, we don't know what's going to run in the John Durkin Memorial Punchestown Chase. 3 o'clock. The I suppose the key thing for this race, which I really like about it, Alex, is it's run over actually shy of 2.5 miles, yet it pretty much attracts kind of Gold Cup horses. So at the moment we factophile Fast or Slow, Gaelic Warrior, Grange Clear West, Hartwood, I Am Maximus. I know the way you're thinking. James de Berlay, Lecky Watson, Nick Rocket, Senecia. I have to go back to this just because I thought it was almost hilarious. The headline on IrishRacing.com, the headline was, Gavin Cromwell said, he hoped he'd run well. This horse is rated 176. He won the Gold Cup, beating an absolute hero of a horse the last time we saw him by about 6 lengths. And Gavin Cromwell, if he's saying, I hope he runs well, what price is this one of the great stayers potentially of all time? And I know the way you're thinking, what price is he going to go off in this race on Sunday? Alex, to be fair, he has a bit of previews in the race. He will come on for the run, a trip sharp if he's best. But what price is he going to go off?
He's 6 to 1. And it's, if you remember years ago when Tiger Roll went over hurdles and went off a crazy price, and there's a bit of you that goes, you know what, this is still a quality horse, no matter what the trip, no matter what the obstacles are.
This is the challenge of backing horses, because last year, Fast or Slow was sent off 6 to 4, which looks crazy short in hindsight, but Factofoil was 7 to 2. Spallanstar was 18 to 1 in this race. They finished first and second.
Exactly. Factofoil is the 5 to 4 favourite currently. And I think with Factofoil, you do have that speed factor, if you like. You mentioned the trip. Factofoil is the kind of horse that can compete over further, but this this trip is probably perfect, has got that speed to win over shorter trips, whereas some of the others probably don't anymore if they did at any point. Gaelic Warrior might do, second in 9-4. Fast or Slow, 9-2. Again, the name would suggest you need to be faster rather than slower to win this. And I know the way you're thinking in there at sixes. It's 14s bigger than the rest. But Factor File is one of those favourites. It's just really hard to... I could not really make a case against him. You can make cases for some of the others, but they would just be hoping that Factor File doesn't turn up at his best. Because if he does, I think he wins this. And it does centre, as you alluded to, around the trip. Some of these may come on for the run and they may want further in time. I just think Factor File is going to be cherry ripe for this. But 5-4, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, again, this is why sometimes it's very hard to explain horse racing to people. In this race last year, I know that we were thinking, who could be one of the best chasers of our time, was sent off 22-1. And Fast or Slow, Derek O'Connor was riding, who would have hardly ever be riding in races like this. He was sent off a 6-4 favourite. But I did speak to Martin Brassel not long ago, and he was very happy with the horse at that time. So if you're thinking this, well, if he were 6-4 last year, he's still only a 9-year-old, and you can get maybe about a bit of 5-1, maybe Fast or Slow could be the value in the race. But this is a race that bookmakers, it's just very, very hard for them to price it up and see where the action kind of goes towards the off. But it's an amazing few days of racing. What else are you looking forward to? Like, for I'm gonna go charity bet long term this time, if that's right. What else are you looking forward to the weekend?
Well, you alluded to the fact that there is top quality racing wherever you look, Haydock at Ascot and over at Punchestown. I do just want to mention just quickly on the John Durkin. I was just looking through, and I know we don't have the Dexter as we record, but the long list for this race, how many Cheltenham Festival winners are in there? Factor File, Gaelic Warrior, you've got Lecky Watson in there, you've got two Grand National winners, Nick Rocket and Iron Maximus. It's almost like you could have a dream dinner party with four people. Who are you going to invite? Well, this is like the equivalent of horse racing. It's the best that you can get right now anyway, of those that are running in Ireland anyway, because the ones in England seem to stay there for this race. In terms of what I'm looking forward to this weekend, I'm looking forward to seeing if Lossie Mouth can get her campaign off to a winning start. And I'm looking forward, you touched on Ile Francais. I'd quite like something in that 1965 chase to really blow the field apart. I think it looks a good race, but I'd like to see something win well and intrigued to see where we go from there. Aside from that, Factor File is the one that I hope will win. And as a betting proposition for this weekend, it's probably the one that I'm most solid on. But, I mean, we are dealing with a short price shot there. I'm hoping you've got something slightly bigger up your sleeve.
It's long term, yeah. And I've tell you what, I've been at some dinner parties where it would have been better if there were four horses as company, although they might say the same about me as well. But, yeah, okay, I'm going to go long term. I'm going to go, if it's okay with the charity, because this weekend, yeah, I'd prefer to go long term. I like anti-post bets when there's a bit of juice in the price, not so much at short price favourites. I just don't really see the point in that unless you're kind of multiplying them. Can we put a 50 quid win on Barbizon to win the Triumph Hurdle in March for the charity, if that's okay? So hopefully we'll be collecting 850.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, like we said earlier, horse has got so much ability. 16-1 currently for the Triumph.
Yeah, so Gordon knows how to win the race and has had some actually very good horses just come up short in recent times. So loads of races to look forward to. Thanks a million for your time, Alex.
Hey, Johnny, thank you.
That was Alex Dunn from William Hill. And yeah, as I say, we've a strange situation this weekend with the refixed meet at Ferry House going into Dundalk in Ireland alone. But then the Morgiana being on the Saturday at Punchestown going into the John Durkin Sunday. It's just fantastic racing. So many superstars coming back on Saturday in Britain as well. That was the Racing Pod. I'm not sure what episode it was, but we're somewhere around 100, I think, as of JD's last show here. And JD will be back next week.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.